Hello, welcome to the next edition of Sport and Life. I'm very pleased to say that a man who's an expert, a connoisseur of both, has his own podcast on energy. What's your podcast called, Tony Ryan?
It's Zestology. Thank you for having me on yours.
Zestology. Well, thank you for having us. Appreciate your time and speaking to our multitudes of listeners as we burgeon in this one. Now, it's about sport and life. We'll get onto energy because that's your kind of area of interest at the moment. But what role has sport played in your life, particularly growing up playing sport? What did it give you? Did it give you any attributes, any characteristics, build personality?
I've always been interested in the mental side of sport, and I feel like I've always kind of learned from that quite a lot. And in fact, the sportsmen that I have always been my favourite sportsmen and women are the ones that aren't necessarily the most talented, but have kind of made the most of what they've got. Because that's definitely me as well on the sports pitch. I was never the kind of first 11 player necessarily very naturally.
Yeah.
So, for instance, in cricket, I always loved Andrew Strauss because I never felt he was the most talented player, but I knew that he'd made the most of his talent.
Sure.
And in golf, I love Graham McDowell because I don't know how he won a major.
2010.
2010, exactly. Yeah. I remember watching it and just thinking, brilliant. You know, he's not the longest driver, he's not the best putter, but somehow he's managed to cobble together
so
a major.
Pulled it together mentally. And,
so that's always been my interest. And then I studied in NLP and did everything else as well.
Yeah, neuro-linguistic program.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
What about sport in terms of preparing for this line of work? Because I find it interesting because we've had to go through gatekeepers, screen tests to get on radio and television. You're a presenter at Sky Sports News, long-standing. Do you think that helps in a way? Is there comparisons there, I think, between sport and going for trials and getting setbacks and that ability to perform under an element of pressure? I know it's not quite the same as playing an FA Cup final.
But I think there is a lot of pressure. And a lot of people say to me, I'm sure they do to you as well, God, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, if you don't do this every day, you couldn't possibly imagine, could you?
Sure. And you have to sort of assess, I suppose, when you came into this work, whether it's, you have to be sort of quite self-analytical, don't you? Self-aware, I suppose, to work out whether it's good for you or not. Because there's certain jobs that I'd be awful at. But you kind of, if you come into TV, you have to enjoy it as well, don't you? That's the key, I think. Because a lot of people see it as glamorous, but actually don't necessarily enjoy that feeling.
Yeah, it's really not that glamorous, is it?
No,
we're stuck away in a little cubbyhole on the third floor of Sky Studios, which we've not booked. We might get in trouble for not booking.
If we get thrown out in a minute and the podcast comes to a jarring halt.
You've got to carry on recording if we get thrown out.
What about being a fan? Because you're a Queen's Park Rangers fan. You've written for the programme recently. Because I'm intrigued by this recently. What impact emotionally does it make on our life? Is it good for us? Does it, I guess, causes emotional hurt beyond our control because if a team loses, is it a sense of unity with other fans? Is it an important hobby for us? Does it build resilience in itself as far as getting over adversity and your team's setbacks? What do you make of it?
First, I think it's diversion, but secondly, something that comes up again and again in my podcast is this importance of community.
Yeah.
You know, maintaining your community around you in an increasingly digital age. And me and six mates are members at the Oval.
Okay.
We go to quite a few of the 2020s and we go to the test matches and international matches there. And it's such a laugh. And I'm not going to lie, it's pretty boozy as well. But it's just that sense, you know, I don't see my mates that often. A lot of them have got kids, a lot of them live different parts of the country. But we know that 7 or 8 times a year we'll get together in the pavilion at the Oval and we'll have a right laugh. And that's my kind of community. That's my tribe, if you like.
Sure. And that's interesting because cricket, I suppose, gives you community. The thing about football, I suppose, people find difficult, you've got community, but then you have the them and us culture, which becomes tribalism and the sort of hatred. I mean, even people who work at Sky, you know, get gutted when a rival team wins a cup or something like that, it's their local right. So I just wonder, is that something that people try and marry as the best parts of the community without necessarily that kind of the animosity that we see? And obviously we don't endorse hooliganism or anything like that, but sometimes people do take that sort of that culture a little bit too far, don't they?
They do, but that's where it's not necessarily community, but it's identity, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I've never been someone who identifies so strongly with a team that 3 days later I'll come into the office and I'll still be annoyed, or even the next day.
We have to a certain extent, especially if you're in a relationship, you can't be negatively affected by it too much, can you?
Yeah.
You can't go to your wife or girlfriend and be, you know, won't talk to them for 2 days because you're down after your team lost.
But a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And you and I, like, quite a few people are here will come in the Monday morning and they'll have a face like thunder in a meeting because their team's lost.
Yeah. I know, and it's a hard life you do that, isn't it? Because you're not in control.
You and I are far more
We're upbeat, yeah. deep breath, carry on, you know, all that kind of mindfulness stuff. What about, because your podcast, Zestology, is born out of an illness that you had, wasn't it? And a lack of energy. Tell us about that.
Well, obviously, you know the story already, but I went away 4.5 years ago on holiday, contracted a tropical virus in the jungle, woke up one day with a rash all over my legs and arms and numb patches on my face. And, you know, often that can be something really serious.
Yeah.
So kind of flew straight home, had a few months off work, was in bed, really wasn't even walking down the street. I have to say, Sky were fantastic about it as well. They were so supportive.
Mm.
And at my kind of darkest hour, I thought, and I was doing a lot of Googling, and I realised that a lot of other people have real problems with energy. And some people just have minor problems.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, if I can do a podcast on energy when I'm back to full health, that'd be quite a good laugh. Plus, I might get some free advice.
Yeah, well, it's sort of massive for life and for sport to thread it together.
Sport and life.
Yeah, sport and life, baby. Mm. That's it. But to connect the dots. But so what are your findings then? What are the key sort of, I guess, catch-all piece of advice that you'd give people, both for playing sport or for just generally living life? Because everyone always complains something about being tired and things like that. It's a common thing, which may be psychological, maybe physical, I guess.
Mm. That's really interesting because I've had over 150 episodes now, and there's common themes that link almost every single guest. It's really interesting. You know, a lot of them talk about the sense of community, being a leaf on a tree and being linked to all the other leaves on the tree.
Yeah.
A lot of them talk about diet, the importance of, you know, not having too
many carbs. So this is human contact's big, is it?
Human contact's massive, and that's increasingly important. It's really easy to wake up in the morning and first thing you do, look at your screen and spend an hour getting kind of lost in Instagram rather than actually looking into the eyes of another warm, breathing, unpredictable human being.
Or play football with someone rather than playing esports online. Is that, you know, is that a comparison?
Yeah. Definitely. Sleep's really important. You know, they all mention the importance of sleep. I spoke to someone the other day. I was over in Texas recording a couple of podcasts, and this guy was like, it's true, isn't it? You can take all the supplements in the world when you've had a bad night's sleep, and they'll help. But if you have a really good night's sleep, that's better than any supplement.
You almost don't need them. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I remember Ryan Giggs, one of his annuals when I was a kid, reading that. And he talks about how, I think he was having like 9.5 hours sleep. He said if he hadn't had enough sleep, he'd actually feel it on the pitch on a Saturday. And that was kind of 25 years ago. So that's quite...
Well, I often think about boxers.
Yeah.
Because boxers get one shot every few months.
Yeah.
And what happens if you don't sleep? Well, you probably don't sleep well because you're nervous.
Yeah, exactly. It's also late at night, isn't it? So you've got to go the whole day, possibly try and nap, but it's a long...
Do you think that's why when an amateur boxer turns pro and is super talented, they give them loads of kind of bites they know they're going to win just to get them used to it?
Possibly, yeah. And I think for Anthony Joshua as well, that's interesting that, you know, he went to, what, 16 and 0, 15 0 before any big challenges, and maybe that was partly to get used to the spectacle, the lights, the adrenaline.
Yeah, exactly,
kind of Because I think Dillian White in his first fight with Anthony Joshua, you could sense that he wasn't quite as accustomed to all the kind of the razzmatazz and that physiologically and mentally kind
it's
of...
It's like you and I on our first day on Sky Sports News. Like we do. Frightened rabbit in headlights.
Tell you what, it's funny though, but you do burn energy really quickly, don't you? You're exhausted after your first shift in any sort of new job on TV or any new job anywhere, I suppose. But that's quite interesting, that energy one. And another thing people always say is, and David Hay used to wake up late, and he said, why would I be running at 5 in the morning like a lot of boxers do and cut myself short on sleep? But then Ed Robinson, who works in the boxing department, actually had a few professional fights. He said that it was about a psychological kind of conditioning that, you know, you could get up and force yourself through it. So mentally, when you're in the trenches in the ring, you can dig on that resource and know that you can do things. It's interesting.
And I was actually going to say, you know, one of the things that comes up again and again is the more that you push yourself outside your comfort zone, just what Ed was saying there, the more that you feel comfortable in uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the massive things in the kind of health, paleo, natural health community is cold showers, cold plunges and cryotherapy.
Oh, okay.
Because if it, and I did that last week in Texas.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, it's great. But it is hell for 2.5 minutes. You're in a room which is -200 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Hot tip for you, if you ever do it, cover your nipples. Really helps. helps, yeah. But then you come out, and not only are you buzzing because your whole body's tingling because all your cells are kind of creating loads of extra mitochondria, but also you're buzzing because beforehand you're thinking, can I do this?
Yeah.
And afterwards you come out and you know, and you remember kind of, that you can.
It's a relativity thing. So everything relative is then easy if you put yourself through an extreme situation.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Once you've done 100 shifts on Sky Sports News, it doesn't seem quite as daunting.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true.
You've got to put yourself in those uncomfortable situations.
Yeah. Certainly does. And quickly, finally, sort of anyone out there, amateur sports people or whatever, diet-wise, is there anything that you've had a lot of people, I know, different types of diets and kind of philosophies they come on your podcast, that is there anything that generally you would say this is probably a good bit of advice not to do? Because we grew up on energy drinks and sugar drinks, didn't we? Things like that as being
they all say cut the sugar.
Yeah.
they will say increase the amount of good fats that you eat,
yeah,
and reduce the amount of sugar.
Which is what we were told not to do as kids, wasn't it? You know, sportsmen, you had to carbohydrate and
yeah,
sugary drinks, Lucozade, all that kind of stuff. And
yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, they're not necessarily all anti-carb,
yeah,
especially if you're like someone who's like a long-distance runner or something like
sure,
that. Although there are some keto runners, long-distance runners now as well.
Wow.
But certainly for me, it's quite a bit of fat, moderate protein, not very much carbs. That'll diddly do.
Tony Wright, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers, bud.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.